Tom, my message this morning is they heard, they felt, they saw. They heard, they felt, they saw. I'm going to talk about a subject this morning that might rattle a few cages, and that's okay. Sometimes cages need to be rattled. I have been contemplating this subject for some months now about Pentecost. I don't believe just Pentecost is a time just like for the Jews, Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Weeks. It's a defined time. But I believe when the day of Pentecost fully come, the book of Acts chapter 2 and 1, most commentaries say the defining day. I believe it's a defining moment. I believe it's more than just having to come by through a time period. I believe it has to be manifest in us. I believe Pentecost has to be manifest in us and through us. Because without it, we will never have the benefit, or we will never walk in the fullness of the commission of God. Pentecost literally just means 50. The Feast of Weeks was 50 days. You can read that in Exodus and Leviticus 23, Exodus 19, I believe. You can read that in them two chapters there. I don't want to ponder on them too much because it'll take too much time. But I want to get to the point where we understand what Pentecost is all about. And the reason I say this is because we're here as a church of Pentecostal believers. But not many people know what Pentecost is. You're believing in something, you don't even know what you're believing. We need to believe what we have to know what we believe. Pentecost is a period or defined moment in God when he birthed the church and the Holy Ghost fell. But that wasn't new for the disciples. They were Jews. They understood that. They understood Pentecost had to come because they had already been in a feast called Passover. Jesus is our Passover. They knew the next feast was Pentecost. They were waiting in an upper room for something to happen. And that something that happened was the miraculous birthing of the church. Amen. An old covenant died and a new covenant came into being on the day of Pentecost. In fact, tradition tells me that the old covenant on Mount Sinai, when the smoke of then the trumpets and the thunderings, which literally means voices, the thunderings happened, it was on the day of Pentecost. That's what they've worked it out to be. And so the old covenant was birthed the same day as the new covenant, which is not by chance. Pentecost is something that God wants to do in us and through us and be part of our life and not just be a moment of life. Oh, the day of Pentecost has come, or the Feast of Weeks. God has something that I believe he wants to birth in us and through us. And this morning, I'm going to challenge you in your thinking to look beyond the now. Are you with me? Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2 and 1. Pentecost is not speaking in tongues. That's the first challenge. Pentecost is not just speaking in tongues, though tongues happened. Tongues also happened in Exodus chapter 23. He spoke with other tongues. Acts 2 and 1, it says this, and the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a what? A sound. They heard. From heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting, they felt the presence of God. And they appeared, or they saw, to them divided tongues as a fire, and it set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Say with me, they heard, they felt, and they saw. My problem today in the church or the body of Christ is they hear a lot. The unsaved can hear. But I think we've lost the dimension of the power of God where they're not feeling. And they're not seeing the wonders and signs and miracles. As a Pentecostal believer, I must understand that power has to follow the signs and the word. Can I hear an amen if you're a Pentecostal believer here this morning? There must be signs and wonders following the hearing. Amen. Amen. But what I'm seeing, and what I and a lot of my friends are, we're hearing a lot of the word. We're not feeling and seeing a lot of the wonder. And I believe God wants to restore that back. I believe God wants to restore the power of God in such a dimension that it will change people's lives. In the book of Acts, that says they were with one mind and one accord. They all had come full, when the Pentecost had fully come. The day of Pentecost, see, it's defining a time. But may I say this, the day of Pentecost had to fully come in them. The day of Pentecost had to fully come in them. They were all with one accord in one place. In other words, there was unity of the brethren, but there was unity in the Spirit, with the Spirit. In other words, they said, God, you've chosen us for this moment. We now bow our knee to you and we say, have your way. Your kingdom come in us and through us. We're in unity. Where it says, and where there's unity commands the blessing. We're in unity with one another. But one of the greatest wrestles Christians have got, I believe, in this hour, is that they're not in unity with the Spirit about their call and their destiny. There has to be a unity of the Spirit where the call and the destiny provokes me to let go of my old to come into something new. I must believe that he's called me for such a time as this and pick up that one accord of the Spirit. Something changed these men in an upper room. Something provoked these men to stay where they were at. 120 people stayed in an upper room for 50 days waiting for God to move. They knew Pentecost was going to come. They knew they had already been through a Passover experience, and Jesus is your Passover. They went through that, and the disciples knew that. Jesus became their Passover, but they knew they were coming into another place, and they waited. One of the hardest things to do is wait. Just wait. Not just waiting, staying in faith, waiting. Not just staying in faith, confessing and believing. Confessing and believing. Confessing, God, you've born me for such a time as this. God, you chose me. God, manifest your Spirit through me. Yeah. They didn't know when. But when it had fully come, when that day arrived, something happened in the upper room. Something occurred to these men and women that changed their lives forever, that manifested itself in such power and dynamic power that it changed people, and 3,000 got saved in one day. This day of Pentecost, or this day of Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament, has got nothing to do with gifts and tongues. It's all about the harvest. It's all about the harvest. The whole Feast of Weeks was a feast of the harvest. And the first thing they did was they ministered to the harvest. They immediately went out and preached the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they brought in a harvest. And I think the Pentecostal church has screwed this right up. Where we've got into a place where we want to see the manifestation of gifts and hearing of tongues. And they're all good. Don't get me wrong. We need them. We'd like to see them. It's wonderful. But that is not the emphasis of Pentecost. The emphasis of Pentecost is to see souls, is to reap a harvest, and have a commission, and to be a co-laborer with the one who started it off in the first place. Pentecost. But Pentecost had to be birthed in them. They heard, they felt, they saw. Please say it with me again. They heard, they felt, and they saw. If I'm only just hearing, if I'm only just hearing and not feeling and seeing, I'm not experiencing the fullness of Pentecost. And there's a lot of hearing going on. I can go on YouTube. I can go on God TV. God help you. I can go on God TV. I can go anywhere and pick up a sermon. I can go on an app, podcasts. I'm quite illiterate to all this stuff. You can go anywhere to hear a sermon. And they're good. Nothing wrong with them. But if it just stops there, and there's no dimension of the power of God, all I'm getting is information. All I'm getting is logic. And all of a sudden, just hearing, what will happen is this. There'll become a wrestle in your faith. And that's why, after 38 years now, 39 years as a Christian, I've just started to understand that some people's wrestles is not with devils. It's their logic and their own reasoning. And they're confounding it, and they're crossing over between reason and faith. Reason and faith. Reason needs to see before it believes. Faith acknowledges God and believes. It believes before it sees. And we vacillate between the two. Are you with me?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 4 verse 19 and 20 says this, "But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Knowledge alone puffs." Come on, you Bible people. "Knowledge alone puffs you, puffs you up. I will not know the knowledge of those, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the what? The power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in
power."
There has to be a demonstration of the power of God. If I'm a born again Pentecostal believer, I must know what Pentecost is about, and it's about the souls of men, and God's equipped me to reap a harvest for the glory of his kingdom.
Amen.
That's what Pentecost is. Amen. It's not just having a meeting, having the dim lights, having the fog and the smoke and the flashing things and saying, "I've had a wonderful time." That is not a Pentecostal experience. A Pentecostal experience is getting the conviction of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, getting the conviction of the Great Commission and saying, "God, this is your will. This is Pentecost. Use me in this hour to reap a harvest for your glory. Demonstrate the power of God in me, whether word of knowledge, whether prophecy, whether I don't care, laying of hands on the sick, whatever the giftings are, God has equipped each one of us to use the giftings to bring people into the kingdom." That is Pentecost. That is Pentecost. They heard, they felt, and they saw. And if I'm not seeing, and if I'm not hearing, they heard, they felt, they saw. If I'm not feeling, if I'm not seeing, and I'm just hearing, I'd question your Pentecostal experience. You just might be a believer. But I know God has more than that. God has a person called the Holy Spirit, which doesn't just want to come in me. He wants to come upon me and baptize me in this power, that I can operate under the unction of the Spirit. So when I reach out my hand, it's his hand. When I speak a word, it's his word. When I take a step, it's his step. And see the people touched by the power of God. 40% of Jesus' ministry was deliverance.
Yeah.
Signs and wonders followed him. In fact, he did a sign and wonder just to draw a crowd. Then he preached the gospel. But wherever he went, signs and wonders followed him. Amen? I believe we're living in a day where God wants to reinstate the fire and the power of God.
Amen.
Whereas Pentecostal believers, we're unashamed of the power of God. We understand that without the power of God, all we have is word. And we'll get lost in wisdom and knowledge of man. And all of a sudden, we swap faith for reasoning. Well, it hasn't happened because of. Well, you know, I don't know, but it might never happen. And we try and reason our way out of it. But may I say this, the world is great in reasoning. But the church is great in power. And you might not have the reasoning, but if you have the faith, you can move a mountain. You might not have all the vocabulary and all the wonder and all the great ways of communication or all doing stuff. But if you know him, hallelujah, he'll use the weak to confound the strong. Hallelujah. He'll use the foolish to confound the wise. Glory to God, because it's not my word, it's his word. Amen. The day of Pentecost has to happen in me. The day of Pentecost has to be birthed in me. I heard, I felt, and I saw. Can I give you a quick testimony? My first missions trip ever. I went to Medan in Indonesia. Anyone know, I can't remember his name now, Jenkins. What's his name? Who? Glenn Jenkins. Glenn Jenkins. Anyone remember Glenn Jenkins?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Good Englishman. Very proper. And he said to me, I'm sick, David. You're going to have to preach. I said, I can't preach. He said, well, you're going to have to. I says, oh, when do you want me to preach? He says, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, in front of 11,000 people. I said, I refuse to do it. And I tell you what, if there was an airplane out that night, I'd been on it. He was sick. And I stayed up all night crying. I was a mess. I was a mess. I was crying. I said, this is not fair. I only came to observe. It's my first missions trip. And other pastors were there. I'm crying. God, you've got to help me. Give me a word. Nothing. Absolutely squat. And then I remembered what this pastor preached about 3 months before. And I went, I remember some of that. So I wrote that down. And I highlighted it because it made it look good. Highlighted this and I highlighted that. And I had a page of it. I thought, this is awesome. So he gets up to preach. His name, the interpreter was Bulan. And gets to get up to preach. And I said my 7 minutes. And that was with the interpreter. 7 minutes I lasted. I said, I'm finished. In fact, he said, good introduction. He said, now let's preach. Because he was full of fire and brimstone. I said, I'm finished. He says, you're finished? I said, me finished? Okay. He says, you ask him for prayer. Is anyone in prayer? Just stand up. About 5,500 people stood up. They all went to the front. The church was in an L like this, and it was like, I'm preaching from here, so I'm out that way. All these people lined up, maybe 30 deep. I went, oh my God, I haven't got that much prayer in me. That's what I thought. And immediately, that's what I thought. So I went to the front, and Bulan says to this young girl, "What's the matter with you?" I've got something in my tummy. I didn't even touch her. I went like that, and 5,500 people fell down. And I went, I didn't know what to do. The same trip, a young man walks in the church, women one side, men the other. He was on hand pads. His legs were tied up, about 8 or 9. And he's pushing himself to the front because he had heard about the power of God. Gets to the front. We pray for him. He undoes his ropes. They were actually ropes around his feet, and he stood up and walked. Had a woman that night. No, that was the next morning. The woman that night was a house meeting. And I went past the stairwell, and there was this little 15-watt globe under the stairwell with a mosquito net around it. And well, isn't that nice for them to put a bed out there for their dog? I went to the top of the stairs and I was talking. And all of a sudden I saw this person crawl up the steps on her hands and knees. I said, "Who's that?" "That's my mum. She sleeps under the stairs. She can't walk." So I went to her and I says, she's come for prayer. And she throws a coin at my feet. A coin, a little coin. At my feet. She wanted to pay for me to pray for her. So there's three of us. So we laid hands on her. And I just kept praying for people. And all of a sudden I heard this crack like a whip. Crack! And there she was standing up and dancing before the Lord. Wow. At the same time, I'm praying for a blind woman whose eyes were your color of your shirt. Blind. And I'm praying for her, and as I'm praying, her eyes are changing color in front of me. And I'm looking at this Sandyhurst. Remember Sandyhurst? Looking at Sandyhurst next to me, I says, "Do you see what I'm seeing? Is it just me?" And she's like on the floor, bawling her eyes out. And this woman's eyes are turning brown. And I said, "God, I believe, but help my unbelief." And then she could see. God is the God of the miraculous. I thought when I came back to Perth, I could go to every hospital, lay hands on the sick, go to the cancer wards, deliver demons. And I couldn't even lift a headache off someone. I'm saying, God. God. He says, when they're hungry, they'll receive. That's all he said. When they're hungry, they'll receive. It's not you. It's all about me. But may I say, even in a Western society, there's some very hungry people. He just wants us to be obedient.
Yeah, that's right.
To step out by faith.
Amen.
That they too might be part of the harvest in this last hour. Leviticus 23, verse 10 and 11. You want to turn there, son? Feast of First Fruits, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come to this land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." This is the barley harvest. It was the first fruits. It was a sheaf. The sheaf was grain stalks tied together to make one sheaf. All right? But it was never cooked. It was just a wave offering before the Lord. Are you with me? Then you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf of the day of the after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. This is the first fruits offering. Jesus is the first fruits of many brethren. This is him alone Only he can be lifted up. Only he's manifesting before God. He is that wave offering. The second feast straight after, 50 days after that, it says, do you want to turn to the next one? Feast of Weeks, Leviticus 23. And you shall count yourselves from that day after the Sabbath, from the day that you bought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count how many days? 50. Pentecost, all it means in Greek is 50. That's all it means. Pentecost, all it means is 50. 50 days. After the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring your dwellings, two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. You shall be of fine flour. That shall be baked with leaven. Now leaven, that's the only time you'll see leaven used in the bread at Pentecost. But leaven doesn't always speak of sin. Leaven can also speak of instruction. Do not take up the leaven of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Right? Do not listen to the leaven of Herod. It's instruction, not just sin. It can also mean instruction. All right? They are the first fruits of the Lord. 50 days later, two loaves. Pentecost. But they had to be loaves. It couldn't be sheaves. In other words, the loaves had to be of fine flour. In other words, they were selective in what they picked. Do you know God was selective when he picked you? I'm going to tell you that again. You better listen to this. God was very selective when he picked you. You did not pick him. He picked you. He picked you from a crop to have something. It says the grain had to be sifted. Then it had to be ground. Had to go through stuff. Had to get the bad stuff out. Had to be sifted. Then it had to be ground. Amen? Then it had to be baked. Then it had to be introduced leaven. Instruction of the Spirit. Then it had to go through the fire. Then it was presented. Two always speaks of witness. The two are Christ and his church. They're held up as a wave offering. In other words, God wants you to be exactly like he is. They both weighed the same. There was something weighty about them. They were one ephah of flour. Listen, there is many Christians that have a form of, but no substance. You better have substance in your life. And the substance comes through prayer and the word of God. Otherwise, all I am is a cloud without water. Been moved and driven by the winds of adversity. But if when you've got substance in you, you can do what needs to be done. Then they had to go through the mill. Pardon the pun. They had to go through the mill. They had to be ground and they had to be shaped and they had to be formed and fashioned by the hand of God. But the weight was the same. The circumstances were the same. And they were both lifted up together. Aren't we, have not we going to be lifted up together with him and the Lord? We become the wave offering. We become the Pentecost offering. But there has to be a work in us. We have got to allow the Spirit to be the Spirit. We've got to allow God to be God. And we've got to allow him to do what he needs to be done in my life. The first thing in the book of Acts chapter 2 says they were with one place and one accord. In other words, before the power ever was presented, there was prayer. If you haven't got a prayer life, don't expect power to move through you. If you haven't got an altar at home, don't expect the power of God to move through you. You might hear, but you mightn't see, and you may never feel. And the frustration when you're lacking faith in your life between reason and faith. When you haven't given yourself completely to him, there's a frustration builds up in your spirit, man, and your reason is shouting at you, and the faith is shouting at you, and you're tricked in between. You've got to make a decision. It's all or nothing. You cannot walk half-heartedly with the things of God. There has to be an altar built in your house. And if you haven't got an altar in your house, you will never see the power of God move to his fullness in your life. You'll hear the call. How frustrating is this? You can hear the call. You can hear the call. You can hear a great word. But if you never get to that place, if you're Pentecost, where you keep waiting in the midst of adversity, I tell you what, their meal was in the upper room. Because everything within them wanted to run. Because if they got caught up there, they were dead. 120, the end of all flesh. When you birth something in the flesh, you have to keep it by the power of the flesh. If you author something in the flesh, you have to keep it by the power of the flesh. If you author something in the spirit, it will be kept by the spirit. That's why I've got to know what I'm sowing. Am I sowing to the flesh? Am I sowing to the spirit? I'm not going to finish. They were all in one accord with one place. One place in the spirit. They understood the kingdom life is about seeking the king. I'm going to say that again. Kingdom, all about kingdom life is seeking the king. And Jesus was sent to save the lost. That's it. If I can put it in a nutshell, that was it. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Do you know, this might be a bit deep, but I'll shout it out. See who catches it. Jesus said, remain here until you are filled, until the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He's a gift to the bride. Can I hear an amen? The bridegroom gave a gift to the bride. In Jewish tradition, when they're betrothed, which means they're married without sex, that's what betrothed means in the Bible. To be married, literally, but not have sex yet because you haven't had the ceremony. The man leaves the woman and he goes back to his home to prepare a place for her. And he says, oh, and he leaves a gift for her to show them his love that will provide for her in the midst of her waiting and bring to her remembrance his love for her. Do you know that's the Holy Ghost being given to us by Jesus? And so the Holy Spirit's forever reminding us of the love of the bridegroom. Pushing us to that place where Pentecost happens in me and you. So he can have a harvest. So we're of the same spirit, doing the same call, being the co-laborer that he's announced me to be. We are co-laborers together with him. In what? For what? So I can have a fuzz and a buzz? No. This is not Pentecost. So his kingdom can come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the day they stood up, the 12, I'm going to rephrase that, the 120. The day they stood up, they were standing up to be reckoned and acknowledged and to show the world who they believed in. Not just to speak a word, but to demonstrate the power of God that had been released through them already in their upper room, in their wrestle, their grinding, their sifting, their baking fire of God to bring forth. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I could go on. God wants to do a Pentecost in each one of us. Some of you lack faith because your mind is so full of logic. And don't get me wrong, I've been there. It still is sometimes a great wrestle in my life. Reasoning, logic. Reasoning and logic. And what it does, it shorts and circumvents faith. Because I want to see certain signs before I take the step. I want to see, God, show me something. No, you just step out the boat. But God, I might, what if? You know, the waves are big. Step out the boat. In fact, he didn't even say that. He just said, come. If I was Peter, I'd be saying, I'll come, Lord, when it's daylight. I can see what's under my feet. The waves aren't so big, and we're close enough to shore that only gets to my knees. That's what most of us would say. But faith doesn't say that. Amen? Hebrews 11 and 3 says, by faith we understand. Do you know faith brings an understanding of the kingdom of God? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by faith. Do you know your whole world, my world, is framed by my faith. It is not framed by my logic. It is not framed by what I think you should do or how we should do. It's just framed by faith. How's your world looking? How's your world looking? Is it being framed by faith or logic or reason? Am I circumventing faith? Because I have just this need to see. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you're in need this morning, you lift up your hands before the Lord. I'm believing God for a demonstration of his power this morning in Jesus' name. I don't care what that need is. He can meet your need. I'm telling you now, he can meet your need. Faith has to arise in our hearts more than ever before this morning. He can meet your need. If you're wrestling with logic, you lift up your hands before the Lord and say, God, renew my mind. Renew my mind. Lord, let me have my Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. Father, you know every man's need, every woman's need here this morning. Lord, whether it's healing, whether it's a wrestle between faith and logic, you know the reason they've got their hands up. And right now, Father, I thank you that you want to demonstrate your authority and your power, your might and your power in their lives, that they may be witnesses of the kingdom of God, that they may be ones that, Father, are the co-laborers together with your spirit to bring in a harvest. That, Lord, you would be the lifter of their head in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now for your anointing to break every yoke in Jesus' holy name. I thank you now for the anointing of your spirit to blow in this house. That your spirit will be heard in this house. That you'll be felt like never before. I thank you now, Father, that we're going to hear testimony of the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just sense God saying to me this. There's going to be a reaping of souls. There's going to be a reaping of souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he hasn't forgot the gleanings in the corners. Do you know the day of Pentecost in the Old Testament, Ruth was read every time? The book of Ruth. There's going to be a gleaning of the corners, the Lord's saying. I'm going to leave no one behind. Just that's not their time yet. But he's going to cause the laborers to go not just into the field but into the corners and take a reaping of the souls, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we come against the spirit of infirmity that tries to touch your body in the name of Jesus. Right now, Father, we come in the power of agreement with your word. Lord, you decree by your stripes, they are healed.
Amen.
By your stripes, they are healed.
Yes,
I thank you now, Father God, that it has no right nor purpose in their life in the name of Jesus. I thank you even now for renewing of people's minds in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you would touch them and bring total restoration in their body in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you now to baptize us not just in the Holy Ghost, but in a fresh fire. In a fresh fire of the anointing of God. That, Lord, we'd be weighty in the things of our God. We'd be weighty, Father. That, God, you picked out the fine grain. You chose us out of nothing to make us something for the glory of your kingdom. We thank you right now, Father. We pick up the mantle and we pick up the call. And Lord, as we've been decreed Pentecostal church, we say we're Pentecostal believers. That your spirit will fall afresh. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, the house of God will be filled with new souls. We thank you, God, we will celebrate with you in the name of Jesus. Lord, that the valley of decision would be emptied in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for that. Hallelujah. Someone here this morning has been believing for someone for years, and your prayers waned. Your prayers waned. You said, oh, well, Lord, you know. He does know. But the problem is, you're looking by your eye now, not by faith. You're looking at their circumstance and not by the eye of faith. And God's saying, lift up your head again. Lift up your head again. Be encouraged in the spirit. Don't let logic, don't let reason worry you out of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for every backslider here this morning. Hallelujah. Now, if that's you, you need to start praying. You better start praying for them. And not just saying, well, God, it's just up to you. I'm going to leave it in your hands. Yeah, yeah. You can trust him, but he's also given something in your hands to do, which is pray. Which is pray. Which is pray. Don't allow prayer to wane in your life. Hallelujah. If you're struggling in the area of prayer, lift up your hands. God wants to renew you in the area of prayer. Hallelujah. Father, renew them in prayer this morning.
Yes.
Renew them in their place of intimacy with you.
Yes.
Father, I thank you they find that altar afresh. In their household, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I thank you, my God, they refuse to step back. And I thank you, God, you're going to cause that suddenly sound of a rushing, mighty wind in their house. And God, they're going to see the breakthrough and the anointing and the fire of God in their house in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if that's you this morning, you shout to your God, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let Pentecost be manifest in you. Amen. To see his kingdom come, his will be done. And his whole emphasis is souls. Not a good meeting. Not fog lights and not dark lights and none of that. They're all nice. For goodness sake, no, don't make that your emphasis. Pick up his commission. Amen. Praise the Lord.